As we gather here this evening, we do so to sing songs of praise. We've already participated in that. We've already had an opening prayer. And the songs that we have sung have pointed out that we are to be a friend to Jesus. We have a charge to keep. And the question has been asked, can he depend on you? We began or sang the song before this sermon, Give Me the Bible. Of course, the Bible is that which will accomplish all of these things that we've pointed out in songs, as well as the sermon topic this evening. Unspotted from the world. If indeed you're familiar with the Bible, and I'm sure you are aware of the fact that this comes from James chapter 1, verse 27, but we're going to back up a little bit from there. We're going to read beginning in verse 22. This is James writing to the strangers that were scattered abroad. He said unto them, Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. When one becomes a child of God, because they contact the blood of Christ in baptism, their soul is completely washed and there are no spots. So we need to discuss remaining unspotted from the world. Upon reading our text or most any other scripture, many read the words yet often don't fully comprehend the meaning, the implication, or the application of them. The latter part of the text we read, unspotted from the world, is what we're going to talk about this evening. And spots affect things on which they are found. They affect what and how the things are now used. And as we discuss this evening, we need to examine four necessities of being unspotted. We need to understand the nature of spots. We need to recognize those things which cause spots. And we need to learn to protect ourselves from the things that we recognize do cause spots. And we need to remove the spots. So keeping those four things in mind, and I'll remind you of them as we get to each one. First, the nature of spots. Spots are easily recognizable and most of the time easily identifiable. From the spot, one can usually ascertain what the spotted one is into. There have been countless number of times that you folks did not know it, but I came to services with a spot on my tie. The reason that you didn't know it is because it was tucked into my jacket. But if you saw the spot, it would be easily identified. That's toothpaste. One of these days I'm going to learn to brush my teeth before I put on my tie. But we can understand the spot. If a car is spotted with copious amounts of mud, well, you've likely driven in the mud. If a tie, garment, or dress, or whatever is spotted with mustard, you've likely eaten something that had mustard on it or in it. Now, what's the spiritual application? Spots of the world stand out on the Christian. You see the Christian, you see the spots, you say, that Christian has been involved with the world. They do not remain separated from the world because the spots identify them, much like the clothing of the Galileans. Identified them as Galileans and having followed Christ. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we find a passage that teaches us against spots, against remaining spotted. Now, keep in mind, those to whom this passage is written, and in fact, all of the New Testament, all of the letters and the epistles in the New Testament were written to those who were Christians or to congregations of Christians. And the Roman letter is no different. In chapter 12 and verse 2, "And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What that verse tells us is that God wants us to remain unspotted and not to be associated and identified as part of the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and following, we see that they are told, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Now, I want to point out, this is not talking about being joined together in marriage. I've heard that taught. When it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, it means that you are to come out from among them. We have to be in the world. We have to associate, interact, I guess I should say, with the world. But we are not of the world. And we are not to be yoked together with them. The rest of the passage will help us to understand. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he which believeth with an infidel? An interesting thing about spots and about becoming spotted is that contact is required in order for the spot to occur. Let's go back to my tie. I brush my teeth and I drop a little toothpaste. If it does not hit the tie, there's no problem. There's no spot. It might land on the sink and Linda might fuss at me the next day because I didn't clean up my spot. Unfortunately, because of my anatomy, the tie sticks out a little bit and the spot lands. Okay. But if contact does not happen, then there's no spot. The car, if it doesn't contact the mud, there's no spots on the same thing with a garment or anything like that. What's the spiritual application? First and foremost, we cannot avoid the world, nor should we. Believe it or not, we were born into this world. We are a part of this world so far as the fact that this is the only place that God has created and maintains in such a way with the right atmosphere for us to live. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 clearly points out this and how it should be applied. The Apostle Paul was directed there to write to the brethren there in Corinth who had a multiplicity of problems. "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators." Verse 10 says, "Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world." What was he telling them? Regardless of the sin, that's why he put in these other sins, I think, not just fornicating or fornicators, those who were covetous, not to associate with them, not to company with them, not to fellowship with them, or extortioners, or whatever the sin might be. Because in order to not be associated with them, you have to go out of the world. But he was talking in that particular application about not be in fellowship with those who were fornicators, not even those who were in the church. Sadly, there were some then. Sadly, there are some now. In James chapter 4 and verse 4, we see a very similar passage that tells us that contact with sin is that which spots us. That's what occurs when there is a participation in or a support of sin. They were told there, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" We have to keep ourselves separated from the world. What is it that separates a Christian from the world? Their continued daily study in the Word of God. Their continued prayer with God or to God. Their continued fellowship one with another, with those who are like-minded. He said, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Let me ask you this question. Can you be a friend with someone and an enemy at the same time? You can be friendly to an enemy, but you can't be a friend and an enemy at the same time. And don't blend the words. People have done that. So-and-so is a frenemy. No, that's not a word. All right. Now, also, we see in Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1 the same idea of the fact, or this proof of the fact, that contact with sin is that which spots us. Notice that the psalmist was told to write, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." In other words, he separates himself out. And his relationship with God will help him remain separate. Will he be able to help that person become a friend? Hopefully. As we contact or come in contact with people, as we interact with people, not being in fellowship with them, but as we interact with people and come in contact with them, our manner of life should be apparent. Our spotlessness should be apparent. Doesn't mean we're without fault. It means we continually clean up. You ever thought about it that way? We continually clean up. We continually get rid of the spots so that we don't continually remain spotted. It's important to know also that the length of the contact dictates the severity of the spot. We're going to go back to the tie. When the tie gets spotted. Unfortunately, sometimes I don't realize it until I get to services. And I look down and I see this white streak on my tie. And I say, oh no, I can't do anything about it right now, so I cover it up. We have services. Nobody notices. I say, phew, dodge the bullet. I go home. The first thing I do, address the spot on the tie. Get rid of it. Same thing is true with us. The spiritual application, the length of time spent in contact with sin affects us in a number of ways. It actually affects the extent of our sin. And I'm going to take us to 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're not going to read all of the account with David and his situation there, but you're aware of the story. We know what happened there. David's sin with Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, in verse 2, he saw her washing. There's nothing wrong with being on the rooftop. There's nothing wrong with looking out while you're on the rooftop. I mean, it could have been a hot evening. He went outside to get a breeze, and he happened to see something. Then we see in verse 3 what happened. He inquired after her. He said, who is this person? I want to get to meet this person. In verse 4, he sent for her. And not only did he send for her, he laid with her. And she returned home. In verse 5, she finds out that she had been conceived a child. So his lust caused them to sin, and then magnified that sin and compounded it with other sins up to and including murder. How unspotted was David at that moment during those periods? Accidentally seeing her wasn't a sin, but all his actions as a result certainly were. He could have stopped the spotting just like that. Look away. Walk away. Length of contact with spotting or sin affects our ability to escape sin and become spotted. You know, I've known people down through the years that at one time kept an immaculate home. As the saying goes, you could eat off the floor. As they get older, perhaps a number of things going on in their lives, perhaps physical issues, they perhaps don't dust as often as they did once. They don't vacuum as often as they did once. And things begin to build up. And it gets to the point where it doesn't affect them. We're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 beginning. We'll see the progression here. The very same thing. They become spotted. They remain spotted. They become unalarmed at being spotted. And that's the conscience becoming weaker and weaker. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was unto him as a daughter. The groundwork is being laid here. There came a traveler unto the rich man, He spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took of the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, this man that has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Imagine, if you will, how David realized his spots when Nathan said to him, "Thou art the man." You see what happened? He became spotted. He remained spotted. He became unalarmed at the fact that he had been spotted. Spots can ruin that which becomes spotted. But once again, if a spot on a tie is great enough, it has to go away. You can't clean it. Same thing with other garments or other things. The spiritual application. Spots can ruin opportunities for us. Our purpose in life consists of only two things when you get right down to it. First, as you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, it is to serve God. Now, that includes absolutely every part of our lives, every thing that you can think of. When we here on the earth and we have obeyed the gospel, we are to serve God. Of course, there was no gospel there in the time of Solomon. But the conclusion of the matter in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is our purpose for being here. I said there were two. What is the other? To bring others to Christ, which is part of that duty. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. One of the last things the Lord said to his apostles before he departed to go back to his Father, as he said he would do. He came unto them and spoke unto them, having been killed on the cross, having been buried, resurrected to never die again. He said to them in Matthew 28, 18 and 20, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That means he has all authority. And with that authority, he gave them this command: "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." A, he had the authority. B, he told them what to do. Go, teach, baptize, teach. This shows what the Christian is to do. Those who went and taught, they baptized people. When they baptized people, those people were Christians. And those Christians were to be taught. And they were to go. And they were to teach. And they were to baptize people. The spots will fix this ability. Let's go back to David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. I know that David was not a Christian because he lived under the Old Testament law. But following God and the law under which he lived was the same as following the law in this day and age. Different commandments and that sort of thing. But what is the word I'm looking for? Lost it. Concept, thank you, is the same. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." But friends, God did not strike David's child because of David's sin. It clearly tells us in the word of God, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now that child is not born in sin. That child simply died. But notice what is said in this particular verse. Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Look at David. He's spotted. Why do I need to follow the Lord? Now, let's move that thing forward several thousand years. Somebody says, look at that Christian. He's covered with spots. Is that the example I'm supposed to follow? You see what happens? How that spots affects us? While we're dealing with spots, we see the nature of spots. We see some of the things spots will do. We need to learn to recognize those things which spot. We know some things that cause spots, right? The things that are obvious. The food on the shirt or the dress or whatever. What's the spiritual application? It's very simple. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It's a passage that clearly indicates the spiritual application of this: remain unspotted from the world. He tells us there, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And that's talking about sin or the sinful things of the world. We know that we are to love the things that God has given us. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. We're to love those things. But even the good things that God has given us, man has made evil in many cases. We're not to love that application of them. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The same thing Jesus said, when no man can serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other one. You're going to cling to one. You're going to despise the other one. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You know, I've thought about sin. Now, I hope we all think about sin. But in thinking about sin, I've tried to see what sin would not fall into one of these categories, and I have yet to find one. They're going to fall into one of these categories: the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, or the lust of the flesh. But notice what happens to these things in verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. When we do what God wants us to do, we can remain unspotted. What are these things? These are the things that the world does and sometimes deep down recognizes as sinful, and those things that mar the soul. But can we recognize other things that cause spots? Gossip? Envy? Sure we can. Psalms 119, verses 9 through 11. The Spirit directed the psalmist to pen words that would help us to know how to clean ourselves, how to be cleansed. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Notice the answer is very clear, very concise, and you can't miss it. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Next verse says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11, we're all familiar with. Thy word have I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We need to recognize those things which cause spots and stay away from them. In our text, James chapter 1 and verse 25, I want to return just to verse 25 here and point out a couple of things about it. Notice that James, directed by the Spirit to write these things to those that were scattered abroad, said, but whoso looketh, that's the ETH there, continually looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God, and continueth, that means ongoing, remaining in it, whoso looketh, continual, into the perfect law of liberty, and continual, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When we recognize those things which spot, and we stay away from those things, we are less likely to be spotted. Which brings us to our next point, protecting ourselves against spots. What do? We avoid those things which cause spots. Tuck the tie inside the shirt before you brush your teeth. Don't drive through the mud puddle knowing it's going to splash all over the place. Spiritual application. Do we go out into the world without protecting our souls? Do we go out into the world with the attitude, well, it can't affect me? It can. It will. It has. We've seen the effect of it. What does 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 tell us? All the ones that think that they have all the strength in the world, All the power. You know, it's not going to affect me. It tells us, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I think when we think that we're at our strongest is when we're at our weakest. When we're most likely to stumble. When we're most likely to become spotted. Again, avoid contact. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, we'll see that Daniel avoided contact. But before you avoid contact, you have to make up your mind. You have to know what's right before you can protect yourself against spots. Daniel knew what was right. He'd made up his mind. He'd made the determination before, and even to the point of telling the people, I'm not going to participate in what you want me to participate in. Knowing that he could suffer harm, physical harm because of it. But he had a knowledge of God's word. We need to make up our minds that we will avoid contact so we don't become spotted. We need to have a knowledge of God's word, because unless we have a knowledge of God's word, we're not going to know what's going to spot us. And we must have an honest knowledge and assessment of self. Where am I weak? Where am I strong? What is it that will cause me to stumble? What is it that can spot, cause me to become spotted? Notice in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Matter of fact, if you'll remember in reading the story, what did he do? He said, give us water and pulse. That's vegetables. And at the end of 10 days, come and check us all out. Guess who fared better? Daniel and those Jews that participated with him in not defiling themselves with the king's meat, the king's wine. What did they do? They avoided contact. They remained unspotted. One way to remain unspotted is to flee immorality. You know I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 here. But I'm going to verse 15. As we read beginning in verse 15, we can see how that immorality will cause us to be spotted, will cause us not to be in favor with God. If we don't flee immorality, we're not protecting ourselves against spots. He says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them a members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And then verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What is he telling them? Stay away from the things that are going to cause you to be spotted. It's very clear. We're to put on the protection for our spiritual being. Now those of you who know me know that I'm not inclined to wear a jacket. But if it's pouring rain, inclement weather, I'm going to use some protection for my body. A light jacket, maybe an umbrella, something like that. Same thing spiritually. We've got to put on protection for our spiritual being. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. This is a passage that should be familiar to all of us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. How much of us need to be protected? All. Put on the whole armor, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Verse 12, clear. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So what do? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, not just put on the protection, but then do everything you can to stay away from that which will spot. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When you go down through that list and everything, you'll see that every one of those pieces of armor is armor of defense except one. And a good armor of offense is a weapon of defense as well. And then he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, for all saints. Protect ourselves against spots. Our reaction to spots varies. Depends on the nature of the spot, where it is. But what is our immediate reaction to spots? Panic. Oh no! I've messed up another article of clothing. I've messed up the car. I've done this. I've done that. What's our immediate assumption? Oh, that'll never come out. How about spiritually? What's our immediate reaction? Unfortunately, it's not always panic. What did David say? I have sinned against the Lord. Our assumption? The spot will never come out. When we go to God and ask forgiveness, He grants that forgiveness if we've repented. We got to forgive ourselves as well. We don't want to forget about it. We don't want to do the same thing over and over again and become spotted and then cleaned and then spotted and then cleaned. We got to have the right attitude toward things. But we got to be very careful with that. We need to be reminded that the spot can be removed. Christians, according to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we comply with God's conditions, God forgives. How many of us in our prayers, I don't want to see a show of hands, but in our private prayers, how many of us have ever told God what we did? I know. We say, well, God knows everything. I don't need to tell Him that I sinned. But you know that confession helps you a lot. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is it saying there? It's saying that God will make us spotless once again. David, Psalms 51 and verse 3. Notice the idea that David puts in this passage is directed by the Spirit. Do we forgive ourselves? He says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. And then back up and read verse 2. Since you're there in Psalms and 51. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. We've got to know that if God forgives us, that we need to forgive ourselves. And then we need to make sure that we do remove the spots. Stains must be addressed immediately. It often requires something substantial to remove the spots. Depending on the nature of the spot, depending on what caused the spot, depending on where the spot is or what the spot is on, how long the spot's been there, all of the things we've talked about. What is the spiritual application? Sins must be dealt with immediately. When we come to the knowledge of the fact that we have sinned, that is the time to address it. We don't need to wait. Let me ask you this question. Let me present a what if, a hypothetical. You sin. You know you sin. You say, I'll take care of it on Sunday. And you die on Saturday. Taking a big chance, isn't it? Sins must be addressed immediately. Spots on the soul need to be addressed immediately. Sin doesn't have to ruin opportunities or abilities or even a soul. Not if they are addressed properly in accordance to the Word of God. The removal of sin, spots, requires the blood of Christ. In Psalms 51 and verse 7, the psalmist, again writing, as directed by the Spirit, said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What's he talking about? He's talking about a soul that has been cleansed. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, we see a picture of the church. We see a picture of the relationship with Christ and the church. We see an admonition toward husbands and wives. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." You know, there's not a person here this evening that does not have a soul. There's not a soul anywhere that hasn't become spotted at some point. Some people have taken care of those. Some people continue to strive to remain unspotted. Others have yet to do so. And God has a plan. Matter of fact, God has a plan also for those who have become re-spotted, having been cleansed. We know the gospel plan of salvation is very simple and it's very plain. One must hear the word of God. James 1 and verse 22, as we read. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. One must hear the word of God. They must believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, as John 8:24 tells us. We also know this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. One must repent of sins, as Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and 5. As we're also told in Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, as the Apostle Paul preached repentance among everybody that he came in contact with. We must confess the name of Christ, the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And yes, we must, in order to become unspotted, be baptized into Christ. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Saul was simply being told to finish the process. There was no doubt that he had heard, no doubt that he believed, no doubt that he repented, and no doubt that he was asked to confess the name of Jesus Christ. But he had to be washed to become unspotted. And then the responsibility is important to remain unspotted. 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 20 and 21 tells us about those who have not remained unspotted. Matter of fact, it tells us the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. There's also a means by which those who have become spotted can again be unspotted, through repentance and prayer to the erring Christian. Those who have allowed themselves to become spotted by the world, they need to return and be washed once again in the blood of Christ. Not necessarily that they are to be baptized again, but to be cleansed by the blood of Christ through repentance and prayer. Tonight, everyone has an opportunity. If the question is asked to us at the conclusion of our existence here on earth, or after here on earth is all the way over, and we're standing at the judgment bar of God, and the question is asked, have you ever become unspotted? Have you remained unspotted? What will our answer be? That's what we must determine while we live here. If you're here this evening and you've not obeyed the gospel, you need to. If you're here this evening and you've obeyed the gospel but you've let sin reign in your life, know that God has a plan. And one day, all who have obeyed the gospel will answer for the deeds done in this life. What will that answer be? If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing the selected hymn?